to Saul what you did to Goliath, take his head off and let everyone know. And yet I want you to see what David does, and may God in some way, shape, or form challenge and minister to you through these. First and foremost, to refuse revenge. Refuse revenge when circumstances seem to allow it. Refuse revenge even when your advisors and counselors suggest it. In verse 4, the men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I'll give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.' Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Again, Gene Edwards, in looking at this story, says, "Everyone else in the world knows what to do when a spear is thrown at you. You pick up the spear, you throw it right back. And when someone throws a spear at you, David, just wrench it out of the wall, throw it back with force. Everyone else does. And in performing this small feat of returning spears, you prove many things. You are courageous. You stand for the right. You boldly stand against the wrong. You're tough and you can't be pushed around. You will not stand for injustice and unfair treatment. You are the defender of the faith, a keeper of the flame, a detector of all heresy. You will not be wronged." And all these attributes then combine to prove that you're also a candidate for kingship. Yes. Perhaps you are the Lord's anointed after the order of King Saul. There's also the possibility that some 20 years after your coronation, you'll be the most incredibly skilled spear thrower in all the realm. And also by then, quite mad. Don't get me wrong. There are a few things that probably would have felt better than for David to retaliate against Saul. And in your own life and in your own ministry, you probably have people around you right now that you would love nothing more than to pursue revenge. Don't pursue revenge. Verse 5. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off the corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is anointed of the Lord." And with these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul, and Saul left the cave and went on his way. Secondly, risk reconciliation. It's a risk. People will misunderstand it. Some of the people closest to you might perceive you as weak. It may not make sense. You might earn the ridicule of others. You might even feel like your reputation is at risk. But you are pursuing honor. And where there is a breakthrough of honor, there is a breakthrough of blessing. And wherever there is a breakdown of honor, there is always a breakdown of blessing. Even in the midst of the mess, David was a man of honor. In 1 Samuel 24, in verse 8, David went out of the cave. He calls out to Saul, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes, the Lord delivered you into my hands in that cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I will not lay my hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed." David knows that he's not responsible for Saul's actions. You are not responsible for the spear thrower's actions in your life. But David is responsible before God to be a man of honor. And so he risked reconciliation, but we know that did not work out. And third, to release it all to God. To release it all to God. This is the hardest place to come to. I was thinking, how much can I share? And it's always a risk because of Alliance family. So I'll just share in a very short way that whenever I left San Diego and I was headed to replant the church that first shared the gospel with me in Alabama, some of the people who were closest to me, who I did their baptisms and their weddings, hurt me in ways that someone should never be hurt. And I'd love to tell you there was beautiful reconciliation, but that did not happen. I left with spears in my back. And I remember coming to a place of some water, holding some stones, thinking about John chapter 8, and asking God by his grace and his mercy that he would give me the ability through his spirit to release it to him. And wherever you're at right now, always in the school of brokenness, God teaches us, informs us consistently to release all things, including our wounds, back to him. Last statement from Gene Edwards. He says, you can easily tell when someone has been hit by a spear. They turn a deep shade of bitter. David never got hit, and gradually he learned a very well-kept secret. One, never learn anything about the easily mastered art of spear throwing. Two, don't hang out with spear throwers. Three, keep your mouth tightly closed. And in this way, spears will never touch you, even when they pierce your heart. I want to invite you to read out loud with me again and let the word of God refresh over you, because the psalm that we read in Psalm 59 is connected to David's time when he is being pursued in the caves. Psalm 59, verse 16 and 17. Let's read this out loud together again. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God, on whom I can rely. David learned that he needs to win the battle within his soul and let God ultimately fight the battle with Saul. And that's exactly what you need to do as well. We serve the risen Christ who did not throw spears, but ultimately took a spear for us. This is the proclamation of the good news of the risen Christ. He took spears so you don't have to throw spears. And I thought about you, I was praying about you, and I have two stories, and I promise I'll be finished for this morning. One is, it's late at night, and I got a call from someone in our church, which is not always enjoyable late at night. And they asked me, hey, I know where you live, which is scary. Can I come over your house? It's like 9:30 at night. I said, okay, sure. And then they came to my house, and they said, I don't want to come in. Will you come outside? I said, Rebecca, if I get murdered, know that I loved you, okay? I loved you, okay? And I walked outside, and they said, I haven't been able to sleep for several weeks now. God's been waking me up with a word, I believe, from the Lord for you. And I said, well, please share it with me. And this is what they said. They said, I want you to know God knows your name. I want to say this over your life today. God knows your name. Not just your struggle, not just the person who threw spears at you or is throwing spears at you. God knows your name. And then 2 weeks ago, we had a church planter from upstate New York who was planting a church in Mississippi. We do not have any alliance churches in the entire state of Mississippi. So if any of you want to come to Mississippi, your vacation oasis, well, consider it. And I was praying for them, and their son was with them, and another son, and I noticed they had a tattoo on their arm. And I said, well, what's the deal with that tattoo? Because I noticed your dad has that same tattoo. Is this like a cult or something like that? And they said, no, every day my dad would drop me off for school. And he said the same thing to myself, to my brother, and to my sister. And when we graduated, we decided to get this tattoo on our arm to remind us. I said, well, can you tell me a little bit more about what it is? And the tattoo just says, remember who you are and what you stand for. Remember who you are and what you stand for. Will you stand with me for a moment? Team's going to come back up and lead us into worship. I say over your souls this morning in the most refreshing way that I can, God knows your name. Remember who you are and whose you are. You belong to Jesus, you belong to his family, and what you stand for. Lord, I thank you so much for this privilege of opening up your word as we open up our lives to a fresh word from you. We thank you for David's example, which ultimately leads us to the example of Christ. And I pray over all of those who are gathered here right now, as we all journey through the school of brokenness in different seasons and in different ways, we know that the most consistent promise throughout the pages of Scripture is that you are with us. You have not forgotten us. And I pray that we'd receive that this morning and that you would minister to us today. And that even in the places that we come in here wounded, we ask for your healing and your sense of refreshing. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen.